High Court weighs pregnant workers.
An impossible choice between their job and the health of their pregnancy.
Missed government deadline.
Airbag maker resists national recall.
California deluge.
Just trying to survive this.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. 6 in 10 American women who give birth have been on the job during the previous year. And today, the U.S. Supreme Court takes up a key case that deals with the way pregnant workers are treated by their bosses. Here's CBS's Barry Bagnano.
When Peggy Young became pregnant, her doctor told her to stop lifting more than 20 pounds, as she did routinely in her UPS job. She requested a light-duty reassignment and was refused.
She had to go on unpaid leave. She lost health insurance at a moment when she really was depending on it.
Emily Martin of the National Women's Law Center argues that under a 1978 statute, pregnant workers must receive the same accommodations as injured employees with similar limitations.
This case is really critical for women's health and economic security.
At the National Federation of Independent Business, Karen Harnett admits
it's hard to not be sympathetic to Ms. Young's plight.
But she says the law only bars discrimination. It doesn't require special arrangements.
If Ms. Young were to win, there really are no limits on what that accommodation needs to mean.
An interesting footnote. After fighting Young for years, UPS tells the court in its brief starting January 1st, its pregnant workers will be given the accommodations she sought. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A midnight government deadline came and went for the airbag maker Takata to make its recall nationwide. We're live with CBS's Heather Bosch.
Takata is set to explain to members of Congress and safety regulators today why it won't expand the recall. Takata has said its airbags only explode with deadly force in parts of the country that have high humidity, but that
makes no sense whatsoever.
To former National Traffic Highway Safety Administrator Joan Claybrook, who points out,
people drive their cars from one area to another area, from New York to Florida, you know, from California to Missouri.
Takata is also expected to argue it's up to automakers, not the airbag supplier, to order recalls. Safety advocates say that's passing the buck and confusing to consumers.
Well, now to California, a state that's been under siege from Mother Nature. Los Angeles broke a single-day record yesterday for rainfall that had been on the books for half a century. And forecasters say some places could get up to 6 inches of rain by the time the storm ends today. Thousands of people are worried about mudslides.
The last time we had the rain, the water came down and real heavy, so I'm going to want to block that one side because it goes down like this.
The concern is hilly areas hit by wildfires will wash away. Lawrence Crabtree is supervisor of the El Dorado National Forest.
It's just going to be a very unsafe place to be, I think, for several years until this stabilizes, and it's going to take years for the vegetation to reestablish itself.
Eric Bolt at the National Weather Service says all this rain won't do much to ease California's drought.
We need a lot of wet storm systems, above normal rainfall for the year, probably for the next 2 or 3 years.
One of Bill Cosby's accusers has taken her claim straight to court in a lawsuit. CBS's Steve Futterman is in Los Angeles.
In this 5-page complaint, Judy Huth accuses Bill Cosby of molesting her when she was 15 years old. The alleged incident took place in 1974 at the Playboy Mansion after Huth had been allegedly served several alcoholic drinks. In the lawsuit, Huth claims that Cosby was aware that she was just 15.
Under California law, minors who are victims of sexual abuse can bring claims as adults if it's found they suffered psychological injuries. Authorities investigating the fires and destruction that took place in Ferguson, Missouri, say they're looking into slain teenager Michael Brown's stepfather. He was caught on video yelling angry comments, seemingly urging the crowd on after the grand jury refused to indict Officer Darren Wilson. Israeli lawmakers have voted to dissolve parliament that paves the way for elections in March, 2 years ahead of schedule. An Iraqi official is casting doubts on reports from Lebanon that the ISIS leader's wife is being held. The Interior Ministry official suggests the woman is the sister of a terror suspect. Meantime, Iran has used its air force to hit ISIS targets in Iraq and has used American warplanes it bought from the U.S. decades ago. CBS News military analyst Mike Lyons.
Iran becomes a better ally to us in the fight against ISIS than Turkey does. And I think that sends a signal throughout the entire Middle East as to where these sides are aligning.
A former deputy defense secretary is said to be in line to become the next Pentagon chief. CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland says Ashton Carter is a lot different than outgoing defense secretary Chuck Hagel.
He is a very assertive type of guy. You know, it was reported that Hagel would sit quietly
in major meetings in the White House Situation Room. I've known Ash Carter for a long time. I can barely doubt he will ever sit quiet in any particular meeting that he gets involved with.
Carter's had a long history at the Pentagon, but unlike most defense secretaries, did not serve in the military or in Congress. The House is expected to pass a bill today that opens the door to more financial help for people with disabilities. They'll be allowed to open tax-sheltered bank accounts to pay from any long-term expenses. A Senate vote is due next week. In Boston, a person at Massachusetts General Hospital is being tested after showing Ebola-like symptoms. The hospital's Paul Bittinger says every precaution's being taken.
We have a dedicated isolation area in the hospital with a special team that is dedicated to the care of that patient. It is not in communication with any other care areas and has been specially outfitted for this kind of care.
About 100 brains are missing at a major university lab. We're live with CBS's Vicki Barker.
The University of Texas at Austin received the brains from a local mental hospital some 3 decades ago. About 100 are still being used as teaching tools. The rest were stored in a basement and, at some point, disappeared. It's believed the collection included the brain of Clock Tower sniper Charles Whitman. He killed 16 people in a shooting spree at the university in 1966. Whitman, by the way, left a suicide note asking that his brain be examined after his death in the hope someone could someday explain why he did what he did. Steve?
Hockey legend Jean Beliveau has died at 83. The Hall of Famer led the Montreal Canadiens to 10 Stanley Cup titles. Spotify says more than 7 billion hours of music was streamed this year by 50 million users. Pharrell Williams' song Happy was the most streamed song around the world. Spotify says Ed Sheeran was the most streamed artist. In the shadow of what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri, a fatal police shooting last month has raised troubling questions in Cleveland. Here's reporter Greg Saber.
Dealing with the video that shows Cleveland police officer Tim Lohman firing 2 fatal shots within a couple of seconds at 12-year-old Tamir Rice, who was holding a BB gun, the investigation continues. And today, the funeral for the 12-year-old, Tamir's father, Leonard Warner.
Do you want the officers to be charged?
They're going to be charged. There ain't no ifs, no buts about it. They're going to be.
Mount Sinai Baptist Church will be at capacity with hundreds of mourners. Greg Saber for CBS News, Cleveland.
They're planning a funeral in Fargo, North Dakota for a mayor who became a folk hero. Dennis Wallaker, who died of cancer at 73, was hailed for leading his city in flood fights against the Red River. His River Crest predictions were often better than the weather experts. That's the World News Roundup for Wednesday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.